It's been proven that the Canadian government lied when they said funding the trucker protests was a terrorist threat. So why did they lie? And why did they freeze those accounts? And why haven't they revoked those powers? Hello there, you 5.1 million awakening wonders. What a frustrating and crazy time we're living in, where there is a personal obligation for us to awaken together, to stay focused, to be responsible for the way we consume information and communicate, and to remain open-hearted. We're going to be talking in a minute about the crazy actions of the Canadian government when they froze bank accounts that were funding the trucker protests. But first, I want to let you know that I'm on tour in the UK in the coming weeks. I'm in Newcastle, Hull, Sheffield, Scarborough, Bristol, Plymouth. There's a link in the description if you want to come see me. It's a beautiful, crazy experience. It's something you've got to participate in if you can. Now let's jump into this story, because I think we're beginning to understand how several issues are coalescing and co-aligning. Government power, corporate power, media deception. This particular story, of course, pertains to the freezing of various funding sites that were in support of the trucker movement. More clarity is emerging around a series of decisions Canada recently made in an attempt to suppress a civil protest organised by truckers. Now, of course, I know that you know what that is. Of course, the mainstream media, or corporate media, as I know many of you call them, focused on the fact that there were elements, etc., etc. But that was obviously being used to discredit the protest more broadly, which was a populist movement. And if we're going to have any hope in changing the world, what's it going to come from? People acting independently and individually, sending tweets. Among those decisions was freezing their bank accounts. Another was to block their access to donations on crowdfunding platforms. We commented before in some of our videos that technology is fine when it's, you know, IDs for everybody, tracking everybody, social credit scores. But when ordinary people use technology to communicate, to raise funds, to oppose the will of the powerful, that technology is shut down pretty fast. Privacy and power for them, transparency and impotence for us. To justify these moves, Canada's authorities invoked the Emergencies Act and anti-terrorism financing laws. That's pretty incendiary rhetoric. I, even as a young man, was sceptical when language around terrorism was being used to malign and persecute minority communities in countries such as mine, the UK, when there were international wars and the language of terror was everywhere. Now that it's obviously being mobilised against groups that are domestic, which I suppose shows what some of my own bigotry, prejudices and conditioning must be, it's even more evident that this is exploitative use of language to precipitate the exploitative use of power. But now it's official. It was never about any sort of terrorism. Well, there you go. How often in the last couple of years, even in the last couple of weeks, have you seen stuff that was verboten, forbidden to be said, now just being openly said? Like, you can see sketches on SNL where people are just going, yeah, no, you don't need to wear masks, and just sort of laughing about it. It's a couple of weeks ago, people saying them Canadian truckers are terrorists, and Trudeau went on the news, they're misogynists, they're racists. Well, let's see what picture's emerging now. A senior official with the federal government's intelligence unit responsible for preventing the financing of terrorists and money laundering activities said, the typical person who donated money to the Freedom Convoy protest in Ottawa posed no security threat to Canada. But what would he know? He's only a senior official with the federal government's intelligence unit responsible for preventing the financing of terrorists and money laundering. This is probably just an obby for him. Like, if that guy, whose old job is looking at, well, no, it doesn't seem like there's any threat. There was no threat, was there? Oh, what other theories spring to mind? Well, whenever there's dissent, people are labelled terrorists, so you can shut down that dissent and discredit it in order that you can maintain hegemonic power and prevent the system ever changing. Oh, I don't know if that theory holds any water. You must be a conspiracy theorist. Well, let's ask a senior official with the federal government, see what conspiracy theorist he is. In the words of Barry McKillop, Deputy Director of Financial Transactions and Reports Analysis Centre, FINTRAC, who spoke before Canada's House of Commons Finance Committee on Thursday, the money the organisers managed to raise was not only not cash that funded terrorism or was in any way money laundering, it was simply a way for people living in what they thought was a democratic country, believing was a safe way of expressing their position on an issue. People living in what they thought was a democratic country, believing was a safe way of expressing their position on an issue. The only mistake they made was believing they were in a democratic country. That is what they did wrong. They weren't terrorists. They weren't money launderers. They were ordinary Canadian people who made the mistake of thinking they were living in a democracy. I hope you won't make that mistake again. If you don't know, now you know. These citizens, subsequently, evidently treated by their government as potential terrorists and money launderers, were in fact fed up with COVID and were upset and just wanted to support the cause, as MacKillop phrased it. How many times do you need to see this stuff go down now? How many times do you want to hear people that were doubtful, agitated and confused about mandates and policies around vaccination expressing their doubts? People that work in medicine, people that work in hospitals that have concerns and don't want to be steamrolled in action by a propagandist media and a centrist government. How many times do you want to see people talking about someone who had the temerity to vote for Donald Trump, who I personally, you know, and I know a lot of you would, I wouldn't vote for. How many times have you seen them condemned as terrorists and idiots and morons? Do you think that might irritate people a little bit? Do you think that might make people think that they can't trust the media? And if you don't think that the language is enough, see what happens when you start freezing their bank accounts because they support something that you disagree with. Anyway, let's have a look at Barry MacKillop. For all we know, he could be some whacked out conspiracy theorist nut job. Let's have a look at him and see what he says for himself so we can get eyes on him.
Certainly, there were people who supported the cause.
Well, firstly, he's got a stupid voice.
Before it was declared illegal. So I think that there were people around the world who were fed up with COVID, who were upset and saw the demonstrations against COVID. And I believe that they just wanted to support the cause.
That's what I would assume, isn't it you? If there's like a GoFundMe page saying we are truckers, we're against the mandates, although not vaccinations themselves, 90% of us are vaccinated, but the mandates we think is a bit of a bridge too far. We're going to do a protest. We need some funding. If people fund that, I don't mean to go, oh my God, you're a terrorist. And if I do think that, what that shows you is that I have a prejudice and a confirmation bias, that I have a requirement to offer that adjudication because it suits my ends.
It was their money, their own money.
You know, when years ago, proper conspiracy theorists, people that just aren't even allowed on the internet anymore, used to say, "You, the only freedom you have is freedom to operate within very narrow parameters. And if you try to push against those parameters, you'll see how much freedom you've got." Well, we're now starting to see that they were actually right about a lot of things, because now even something as sacrosanct as your financial freedom, your ability to go, "Oh, I've got a job, I've earned this money, I might go out and spend it on some booze. Only a certain amount of booze, though, it's bad for you. Might get some fags. Only a certain amount of fags might be bad for you. Might support that protest. You're a fucking terrorist!"
So it wasn't money that funded terrorism or that was in any way money laundering.
So there he is in his own, well, not quite his own words, because it's clearly a female translator. MacKillop added that if a minority of the roughly 100,000 donors who contributed about $10 million to the cause through crowdfunding were right-wing extremists wanting to topple the Trudeau government, they chose the wrong way to do it. Yeah, if you are trying to topple a government, don't give money to GoFundMe. Like, right, we're going to topple the government. Okay, what are you going to do then? We thought we might donate some money to a wildlife sanctuary on GoFundMe. Whoa! That's because there are many other ways that are probably easier to use to launder money or collect funds to finance terrorist activities. In testimony before the Commons Finance Committee Thursday, MacKillop was responding to a question by Liberal MP Sophie Chittell. She expressed fears that foreigners and far-right groups had used crowdfunding of the Freedom Convoy to cause billions of dollars of damage to the Canadian economy through such activities as blockading the Windsor-Detroit Ambassador Bridge, a major trade route.
"Oh, I'm frightened. I'm frightened. We're all victims. There could be terrorists and foreigners." I thought, like, we're not meant to say stuff about foreigners. "These are bad foreigners. These are bad foreigners. And these foreigners, they could be doing anything, anything." Well, your man MacKillop, whose job it is to spot such threats, says there ain't one. "Yeah, but I'm still frightened. I've had another hunch, Justin. There could be a terrorist everywhere. Shut down everybody's bank account. The only way for us to be completely safe is to shut everyone's bank accounts and everyone to sit perfectly still forever." Well, it is a lot to ask. I'll do it. So either it's genuine fears and these people are nervous wrecks who don't belong in government, or it's rhetoric in order to expedite a course of action that is convenient to their imperatives. MacKillop also said these acts of support happened before Canada outlawed them. So at the time they did it, it wasn't illegal. That's like arresting someone going, "Excuse me, have you smoked in a restaurant?
No, it's illegal. Yeah, but when it was legal. Oh, yeah, I did smoke in restaurants then. Right, you're under arrest. Hold on a minute, it wasn't illegal then. Never mind, too late, terrorist. Why did Canada even outlaw this, though? Canada's Minister of Finance and Deputy PM, Chrystia Freeland, pretty much spelled it out. It was all about convincing those donating to the cause to listen to reason.
We're just going to have to permanently freeze bank accounts. We're just going to have to ask you to listen to reason.
These people have the appurtenances and apparel of the vulnerable, the language of caring and compassion, but the actions of tyranny. The bank accounts of some Freedom Convoy supporters are still frozen. They've still not remedied it. The truckers have gone home. No one's even talking about coronavirus and mandates anymore. The carnival's moved on. These poor buggers can't order a Just Eat yet. The freezing of these accounts was announced the same day Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invoked the Emergencies Act. And even though the Emergencies Act is now lifted, some accounts remain frozen. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I don't want to see that dude on the TV talking about anything else until they've sorted out the bank accounts of their own citizens that they wrongfully and lawlessly shut down. Or if it was lawful, it's because they changed the law to make it lawful. Deputy Prime Minister Chrystia Freeland said that some financial aspects of the Emergencies Act would become permanent. Of course, we did a video on that last week. And just a reminder of how Justin Trudeau speaks about freedom and protest when it doesn't cost him personally. This is from December 2020. Mr. Trudeau chided India for its police response to farmers' blockades of Delhi. Let me remind you, he said, possibly combing his hair. Canada will always be there to defend the right of peaceful protest. When it suits him, oh, freedom, we support the right to protest. As long as it doesn't affect me personally, then we'll freeze your bank accounts. So we can now see that rhetoric was used that was inappropriate. Measures were taken that's unprecedented, unless you include actions in the United States around WikiLeaks, which we talked about in another video. The language that was used, the descriptions that were deployed, were done exactly as we explained to you at the time, in order to facilitate actions that would shut down dissent, in order to create a political stasis, in order to shut down popular uprising, in order to prevent us, you, we, ordinary people from creating movements where we say, hey, I don't like the way this is going. This is meant to be a democracy. Remember what our man said. The only mistake those Canadians made was believing that they were in a democracy. How long can we continue to make these mistakes? How long before we start to demand genuine democracy from our governments? How long before we insist on coming together, conglomerating in power, to insist on real change, new systems of government, localized, empowered democracy, where your own lives are controlled by you, where your communities are controlled by you, where your schools, hospitals, working lives are controlled by you? Is that the world you want to live in? Let me know in the comments below. I'd love to hear what you think. Give this video a thumbs up, subscribe to it. If you enjoyed this video, have a look at this one or this one. I'm all over the country at the moment. If you want to come and see me, you can see me in Newcastle, Hull, Scarborough, Sheffield. I'm in all these places, Bristol, Blackpool. Come and see me. There's a link in the description if you want to come see me. Sign up to my mailing list as well. You can just click on that there. And most importantly of all, please stay free.